This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
While the law change is an incredibly positive step for trans youth, it's important to remember that trans people come in every age bracket. We're joined now by longtime trans activist Sally Goldner to talk about the accessibility of gender-affirming services for older trans people.
I think that there's still issues of accessibility for people who come out later in life, and that's both to say, as I call it, middle cohort, say 30 to 55, and senior. And I do want to emphasise both, because sometimes people think, if you're 30 to 55, that's when you're best able to look after yourself. Not necessarily, but still be a bit tricky in that age group. And while often for adults the focus is on uncovered surgery costs, around 15,000 Australian for someone assigned male at birth, needing to be female having surgery, and much higher for trans men wanting to add a phallus, 70,000 minimum. I've still been aware of adults who have had to come off hormones, even if they're on, say, government benefits, pharmaceutical benefits scheme, and that's obviously a worrying thing, because the psychological and physical issues of health are enormous. So, yeah, still a big issue, but it's also about generalist support, getting your average GP or counsellor to just have a few basics on hand. Which pronouns do you use, if any, because I respect your gender identity, not asking invasive questions, not pathologising and having things like, oh, it's just a phase, or that's really wrong, or whatever. So there's still lots to be done on health, just for starters, and then we've got other things that we need to achieve as well in terms of other law reforms.
What other law reforms do we need to be thinking about and focusing on to be able to provide the best support we can for the trans community?
Birth certificates, still a big one. Well, we've only got 2 of the 8 states and territories who you'd consider have laws that are passable, in that they're based on affirmed identity rather than surgery. So ACT 2014 and South Australia 2016. We've got, it would appear, Labor governments a lot of those other states, WA, I have heard there may be some work getting underway there. Queensland, well, we're assuming it's going to be Labor. Northern Territory, they're areas where we can get things done for starters. Victoria, unfortunately, we're stuck until after the next election in just under a year's time. But obviously we'd want those based on affirmed identity, having changes for minors with parent guardian approval, having more than 2 options. And also, one is where the ACT and South Australia could get close to the perfection, is having the change simply signed off by an adult who's known you for a year rather than a health professional, because we believe that's pathologising and discriminatory. So that's an area. There's also, as we saw in 6 or so weeks ago, the issue of sport exemptions in most states, territories and federally, and the situation with the Hannah Mounty scenario clearly showed how confusing and unnecessary they are. And the fact that Tasmania got rid of theirs 12 years ago and the world hasn't come to an end shows that there's really no need for them. So, there's those sorts of things, but also funding trans-specific organisations. Apart from New South Wales and the ACT, there's not any that I know of around the country. And that means there's more demand for our type of services. We're struggling to do it on a voluntary basis. And that would then lead to, resolution of a lot of other issues, where we're talking things like custody, for example. We'd be able to work more proactively on a lot of the things I just mentioned as well. So there's a bit of a wish list, if you like. I do feel, I know we've had a horrible time in, say, the last 2 years and up until a couple of weeks ago, 3.5 months, but I do feel there is a bit of cause for hope. And the thing that actually got me was the fantastic results in the US, where 7 trans people were elected to various, we'll say, state and local governments, and we would probably call them more bureaucratic type of positions. And also a trans woman in Canada who was elected mayor in a small town in Canada. Mm. I do have to go with my gut. So I think that at least we're at the extreme tide mark, if you like, that, what do you call it, a low tide, I suppose. And I think people are going, hang on, this, you know, this constant, you know, negativity towards trans and gender diverse people and families isn't right. So with that, and of course, you know, last week's great news, there is, I think, reason to believe that maybe common sense can start dominating again. So I think we can get there.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.